Talk Live, and we're kicking off Hour 2 of the Friday edition. You can take control of the airwaves. Toll free. 800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. The Packet 8 toll-free line for you. Bring up what you want. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All of the features you'll find are totally free. That, again, is freetalklive.com. Hey, by the way, Mark, we were talking last hour about Borat and the lawsuit that he's facing from two of the fraternity brothers that embarrassed themselves in front of cameras while they were filming in this RV that they were supposedly driving with Borat. And in one of the scenes in the movie, they said some very misogynistic, I think the article said racist comments. I don't remember hearing racist comments. I just remember hearing them taking shots against women. And it was a very funny scene, but now they're angry, and now they're suing. But there was a third guy in that scene, as you may recall. There were three college students, not two. So, as it turns out, one of the three isn't involved in this lawsuit, and ABC News got an exclusive interview with him. So here from ABC News is a little bit more on this case. Two fraternity brothers have taken legal action against the comic known as Borat. A third, though, tells ABC News in an exclusive interview that they were tricked into appearing in the film, but it was fun. David Corcoran said, "They definitely told us a lie." He told ABC's Daniel Bellotto that he was paid $200 to drink with Borat for a sequence in the film in which he and students at a South Carolina university appeared drunk and made racist and misogynistic comments. He said, quote, "They fibbed a little bit. They went so far as to say that he was a real reporter from Kazakhstan. I think that they said it would be broken up into six television specials and that it would never be shown in the United States." Two other people who were depicted in the film as South Carolina students announced Thursday that they were suing 20th Century Fox, the studio that made Borat. The film, which opened on November 3rd, was number one at the weekend box office and has grossed more than $35 million in ticket sales, which, by the way, is just incredible. I mean,
they couldn't have spent anything on filming this.
Right. The budget of the film, probably next to nothing. The budget for promotions, probably three times, if not five. I think the total budget for Borat was $18 million.
Okay.
Including all of the promotional budget.
That's minor.
So they're going to make a huge amount of money on this, which means he's going to come back, you think? I'm thinking he's going to come back.
I would think so. I mean,
I don't know if Borat's going to come back, but I've already heard rumors that his third character, Sacha Cohen's third character, is going to be doing a movie.
I know Ali G, and I know Borat, but
G's already had a movie.
Okay.
Now, Ali G's movie wasn't like Borat, in that Ali G's movie was total fiction.
Okay.
Borat, on the other hand, sort of a meld of a little bit of fiction with a lot of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And his third character is this very flamboyant gay commentator for Hungarian gay TV named Bruno. And so I don't think that he's not going to be able to get away with doing Borat again, I don't think, easily.
Think so.
So he's going to have to shift to his other character. Anyway, in the largely unscripted film, Cohen plays a journalist from the Central Asian country traveling across America. Along the way, he mocks racism, sexism, misplaced patriotism, and pop culture. The plaintiffs in the lawsuit are remaining anonymous, quote, to protect themselves from any unnecessary embarrassment. The lawsuit says that they went to the bar and blah, blah, blah. Corcoran's recollection largely coincides with the plaintiff's account. Quote, "I got a call from one of my buddies asking me if I wanted to get paid $200 to get drunk. And I said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea." Of course, he's a frat boy.
Does sound like a good idea.
I mean, he gets drunk every weekend or every night anyway, except he has to pay for it. This time, make a little money. So I went down and I went through the interview process, and I was one of the lucky, or I guess the unlucky, that got chosen, he said. He brought us to a bar and he told us, "Yeah, guys, I hope you have really good stories. Don't let me down. Just typical frat guy talk," Corcoran said. He kind of challenged us to shock him. I'm guessing when he says he means the producer. I find it hard to believe that Borat would be setting that up.
Yeah, I would think not.
Unlike the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, however, Corcoran was not upset with the results. Quote, "I don't normally like getting lied to, but am I pissed off? No, not really. It is what it is. I had a fun time. You know, if only the other two could be as honest and as forthright."
Yeah, well, the other two might make some money. This guy's not going to.
Well, anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about driving in a foreign country, or driving anywhere, because the principles that this European city are applying can apply anywhere. What's going on, Mark?
From the Telegraph. "Most traffic lights should be torn up as they make the road less safe," one of Europe's leading road engineers said yesterday. I don't know how you tear up a traffic light, but okay.
Pull it out of the ground, I think, is what he means.
Hans Monderman, a traffic planner involved in a Brussels-backed project known as Shared Space, said that taking lights away helped motorists, cyclists, pedestrians to coexist more happily and safely. Residents of the northern Dutch town of Drachen have already been used as guinea pigs in an experiment which has seen nearly all the traffic lights stripped from their streets. Only three of the 15 sets in the town of 50,000 people remain, and they'll be gone within a couple of years. The project is the brainchild of Mr. Monderman, and the town has seen some remarkable results. There used to be a road death here about every 3 years, but there have been none since the traffic light removal started about 7 years ago.
This guy, his name sounds to me like the guy who has studied this in the past, and I'm not sure. I didn't Google it. I didn't double-check this, but I was sent this very same article that you're reading here, and it reminded me of the guy who did studies on roads that had heavy signage versus roads that had very light or no signage, and determined that there are less accidents on the roads with very little signage. So I think this might be the same dude that's in charge of this.
There have been a few small collisions, but these are almost to be encouraged, Mr. Monderman explained. We want small accidents in order to prevent serious ones in which people get hurt, he said yesterday. It works well because it's dangerous, which is exactly what we want. But it shifts the emphasis away from the government taking the risk, but the driver being responsible for his or own risk. We only want traffic lights where they are useful and haven't found anywhere that they're useful yet. Mr. Monderman, 61, compared his philosophy of motoring to an ice rink. Skaters work out things for themselves, and it works wonderfully well. I'm not an anarchist, but I don't like rules which are ineffective, and street furniture seems that tells people how to behave.
I like that, street furniture.
Street furniture, yes. In short, if motorists are made more wary about how they drive, they behave more carefully. The main junction in Drachen handles about 22,000 cars daily.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy. Where once there were traffic lights, there's a roundabout, an extended cycle path and pedestrian area. In the day of traffic lights, progress across the junction was slow as cars stopped and started. Now, tailbacks are almost unheard of. Not sure what a tailback is.
I'm guessing that means following someone really closely.
That was my thought. Yeah. And almost nobody toots a horn. However, it is not the cars which seem to be involved in the greatest conflict. It is the cyclists and pedestrians who seem to jostle for space. Driving around Drachen, vehicles approach roundabouts with considerable caution. Traffic approaches from the left, but cyclists come from either side. Cyclists, almost none of whom bother with helmets, signal clearly at junctions, making sure motorists are aware of them. It's a good idea. Thus far, Drachen's drivers and pedestrians have voted the experiment a success. I'm used to it now, said Helena Spadstra, 24. You drive more slowly and carefully, but somehow you seem to get around town quicker. Tony Utswad, 70, was equally enthusiastic. Everybody's learning.
I would guess that on average that would probably be the case. Probably maybe in a really heavy period, it may take a little longer, but when
I
things
can't
are
think
light,
it would.
When traffic flow is lighter than normal, you can easily get in and out quickly, and you don't have to wait for some 45-second long light to change.
There's nothing that makes me angrier than these red arrows. Are you familiar with these? You sit at a stoplight hoping to turn left, and there's a red arrow, which means even though the light's green, you can't turn left,
right?
Because you're not smart enough to know when there's oncoming cars or not. You must be told by street furniture when you can go.
It's an insult.
It really is. It's deeply insulting. I have to say, I think this is very interesting. The lights went out in Sarasota, Florida, when we had that hurricane last year, and you and I were living there. And somehow or another, people made it through intersections.
Yeah, we did.
I made it through plenty of times. Didn't die. I'd have to drive from my house to your house, which is several miles away. Plus, I had to drive to work.
Everybody was all right.
A lot of intersections where everybody used it as a four-way stop.
Now, there's the St. Armand Circle where we come from, which is this sort of ritzy shopping area that has a roundabout. And I've seen a handful of accidents take place there. They're never really serious accidents, sort of like he was saying, usually just a little fender bender or rear end or something like that. There's no reason to suggest that that's happening any more often than would have happened if there was a stoplight at that particular
place. Well, they'll swat a pedestrian there every once in a while. But
that's because there's so many of them.
There are so many of them, and they're old, and they're not paying attention, and they're rich, and they feel entitled.
Indeed. All right, I think it's a great idea. We should get rid of stoplights and get rid of road signage, including speed limits. 800-259-9231. You take control of the airwaves. David in Montana coming up. Your calls as well. It is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
taking you to nonpartisan places you've never been to, and leaving you there.
Do you think the country would be better off without the two parties? I mean, if we just got rid of that little D and that little R next to the legislators' names, would the sky fall? I can see almost no downsides to something like that, and a ton of potential advantages for America.
Common Sense with Dan Carlin, the opinions of a new generation. Get the MP3 or podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through a private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lightgift with another Car Clinic Minute. We look for shortcuts everywhere. Online buying, TV dinners, blow-dry hairstyles. I know a 20-minute automotive preventive maintenance trick that'll save time and money when I come back. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly-Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. An ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure. Yes, 20 minutes of driving could be worth days in the shop. Why? Driving your car just a couple of miles, especially in cold weather, doesn't produce enough heat to burn the moisture that forms internally. This unevaporated moisture contaminates oil and sticks to engine parts, increasing wear and tear. To prevent damage, drive at least 20 minutes at 50 miles an hour every week. Another ounce of prevention? Change oil and filter every 3,000 miles. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly-Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly-Clark.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
That is the toll-free number that allows you to take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind. The Packet 8 toll-free line, again, is 1-800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And, of course, you can join us on our website, freetalklive.com, the place to go. We've got all kinds of great stuff there, and it's all for free. The listener map included. Over 1,700 of our listeners have added themselves to it, and you can add yourself to the listener map as well by going to map. freetalklive.com. You can see all around the world. Scroll around, zoom in and out, find out who else is listening to the show. Map.freetalklive.com. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project's First 1000 Pledge. Are you just going to talk about freedom, or are you going to start living it now? Learn how the First 1000 Pledge can make it happen today at freestateproject.org. That is freestateproject.org. So we go to the phone, to the fun, David in Montana, listening on KGEZ. Hello, David. David in Montana, going once.
Hello.
Hey, David.
Hello, how you doing? You hear me?
Good, yep. We got you fine. What's on your mind?
All right. Yeah, I want to just talk about the power of the vote towards the Libertarian and the Constitutional Party had this election.
Okay.
And I'm not, like, saying that they took away votes from the Republican or they took away votes from the Democrats.
Certainly not.
It shows that they could... that the people still have power, man. You know, like, just a little vote, 800 people up here in Montana swayed the vote for Senator Burns and Tester, towards Tester, because we're tired of the Democrats and Republicans ripping up the Constitution.
Are you saying that, I don't know the names of the candidates, are you saying 800 people voted for the Libertarian?
Well,
or?
See, the vote was so close, it was like 2,900 votes it came down to, and the Libertarian and the Constitutional Party, both, like, the votes that they had was about 1,600.
Mm-hmm.
So if even just half of them voted for the Republican or the Democrat, you know, it could have swayed it.
So you're saying that the Libertarian...
I don't want to talk about that, that they took the vote away, but it's showing that 16, you know, a lot of... people are fed up with the Democrats.
Exactly right, which is what it is. Hopefully that's the message that the Republicans and Democrats are getting when people vote for third parties.
They're just saying that the Libertarian and the Constitutionalists are just taken away from them.
That's not true.
That's right. That's what
those
we
people
have
are voting for what they believe in.
Right.
They're not stealing votes. There's no ownership of votes. It's outrageous
right.
when people make that suggestion.
And a lot of people are like saying, oh, it's a joke that the Libertarians only get 1,600 here or they get 2,000 there. No, it ain't a joke. This is how a third party starts. Because as long as the Democrats still keep ripping up the Constitution, more mm-hmm. people are going to see that these guys aren't nothing no more. They're just loyal to the party, and they forgot about America. And
I agree.
And what do you call this war on...
the war on terror?
Yeah, the war on terror and everything, how they're destroying our freedoms. Our forefathers says as this country gets bigger, we get more freedoms. And I'm tired
of... It'd be nice. Unfortunately, that's not how it's worked.
Well... Here they use this excuse of war to take our freedoms away.
Yes, they do.
But in the same breath, they wage the war like a bunch of scared women and children. You know, and that's all we hear from them is fear. And we have to fight them over there. And I don't
well,
really
they're treating
care.
The
I'm an American.
People.
I'll fight them right here. Matter of fact, I'd rather fight them here because then we know who they are. Over there, we don't know who they are.
Interesting
over
point.
Over here, we know who they are.
Interesting and, point, Dave. Though they are treating the American people like a bunch of scared women and children because that's what they want the American people to be.
It's coming from the government and the media. And we got to stand up to this and tell no more. We're not afraid. You people are just... propagating all this fear.
And it's true, and I guarantee you, you're not going to see any changes as far as the Democrats are not going to repeal the Patriot Act. They're not going to bring George Bush up on impeachment charges.
Not
they're just going to grow the government in the way they want to grow it, just like the Republicans grew it in the way they want to grow it.
Good, because this will make the Libertarian and the Constitutional Party even stronger.
I hope you're right, Dave, but it just hasn't been happening over the last few years. Maybe you're right. Maybe there's going to be some sort of hat that'll drop that'll make more people switch over to the Libertarian Party.
Well, Americans are like hard-headed. It takes a lot for the to move.
Apparently
them,
so.
You know,
and they keep voting for Republicans and Democrats after they continually make government bigger. Do you
well,
think? Let me ask you this, Dave. Do you think that these Republicans, now that they've been ousted from office, many of them have,
they
and they've got
acting like a bunch of crybabies first, and now they're going, oh, we're going to get along, and right.
Well, they've got their tail between their legs now, and some of them are saying that, oh, we'd forgotten our principles. Do you think that the American people are going to be duped again in 2008 when the Republicans come back, as they will, inevitably, and say, okay, Americans, this time we're serious, we're really going to reduce the size of government, trust us, vote for us again. Are the American people going to fall for it again?
You can't fall for it again. They're the worst, in the past 6 years, the worst damage to our Bill of Rights and Constitution has been perpetrated right before our eyes.
Yeah, by the Republicans. And
by the Republicans, and if the Democrats don't jump right on this and do something about it, they're all the same.
They are all the same. They're all on the same side, and that side is bigger government. And David, thank you for the call. We appreciate hearing from you, as always. Mark, you look sort of like absorbing all that. What do you have to say?
I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like you're going to see any big changes.
I don't think so either.
It seems to just be like a badminton game, and you know they knock the birdie, who's the American people, back and forth over the net,
right.
And in the process they grow the government.
And the media has a lot to blame. I think a lot of the blame lays on the media for this because they just don't pay attention to the third parties. I mean, they don't. They just ignore them as though they're totally useless and meaningless, when, as Dave pointed out, even though some of the Libertarians got some dismal results this year and should be embarrassed about it, they still did throw... They still were the spoiler in many races. They still were the kingmaker. And that's worthy of discussion. That's worthy of... I think it's worthy of them getting press attention. And if the press would just pay attention to the Libertarian candidates, they could do better. But unfortunately, there's this weird catch-22 going on where the press will tell a Libertarian candidate, well, we can't waste time covering you. You don't have a chance of winning. Of course, the corollary is that because...
They don't have a chance of winning because they won't spend any time on them. So what are you going to do with that?
So, yeah, what are you going to do? And I think what you should do is what Frank Gonzalez did and what Joel Winters did here in New Hampshire, and that is somehow manage to get yourself on the ballot as one of the two major parties and run that way. Be a stealth libertarian. Be a libertarian politically. You know, have principles and be a principled libertarian. Just run as a Republican or a Democrat, whichever one you think is going to get you elected. For instance, here in Keene, New Hampshire, where we live, it's a college town. So naturally, you've got academic types here and kids that don't know better, and so they vote Democrat.
Well, and also it's close to Vermont, which is very Democrat.
Right. So this is sort of like the liberal bastion of what's overall a very conservative voting state, that is New Hampshire. So Democrats have a better chance of winning here. I would suggest that anybody who's a Libertarian candidate relabel themselves as a Democrat and then go out and run for office, and you'll have a much better chance of winning as opposed to getting this 2%. That many Libertarian candidates did this year. 800-259-9231, that is the toll-free number. You can take control of the airwaves. Coming up, the government's Military Commissions Act. They've already started to enforce it. We're going to give you an example of how. Free Talk Live.
Shelly, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything. All kinds of fans, sheets, pillows. You name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helps. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot, no matter what the reason. You can see it at bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
Improve your home's comfort and beauty. Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance and may also help reduce your energy costs. Call 1-800-393-8378 for a free in-home consultation. Ask about our special financing terms. Offer ends 12/30/06. subject to applicant creditworthiness. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License number available on request. Not available in all areas. Improving your home has never been easier. Call Sears at 1-800-393-8378.
Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, in herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control, bring up what you want, toll free. 800-259-9231. That is 1-800-259-9231, the Packet 8 toll-free line for you. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us on our website, freetalklive.com. All of the features are on the house, and that includes the bulletin board system. Over 140,000 posts await you. bbs.freetalklive.com gets you interactive with lots of other listeners, over 1,200 of them, as a matter of fact. The hosts and more, bbs.freetalklive.com. Well, Mark, we have been pretty Johnny on the spot when it comes to covering the Military Commissions Act of 2006.
Mm-hmm.
As you may recall, this was the act that was passed a few weeks back by President Bush that allows essentially the government to throw people into military brigs, give them military tribunals, label them enemy combatant. They have to be labeled an enemy combatant in order to be thrown into said military brig and given a military tribunal, which is not public. You do not get to see the evidence that they supposedly have against you. You may not even get to appear.
Forget habeas corpus. It's gone.
Yeah, it's all been thrown out the window. Forget the Constitution. All of that, done. Now we've got essentially a military police state in the United States, and this is the first of several steps that they're taking towards making that happen. Or it's one in a series of many steps that they have been taking, just a huge step towards just eviscerating the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So, we've certainly covered the Military Commissions Act, but we haven't really talked about some of the ways they've already started to use it. And they have. In fact, this story is a couple weeks old at this point. One of the first things they did after passing the Military Commissions Act of 2006, Washington Post reporting, moving quickly to implement the bill signed by President Bush that authorizes military trials of enemy combatants. And remember, you can be deemed an enemy combatant by George Bush, his little panel that he can form. Mm-hmm. He forms this sort of panel of whoever he wants. He can just appoint whoever, whichever one of his friends he wants
And who's going to say whatever he wants, too.
Precisely.
He's big on loyalty, you know.
Well, absolutely.
Forget integrity.
So he appoints this panel, and they can label you an enemy combatant for essentially materially supporting, which basically means, you know what, I don't have the exact terminology in front of me, but for whatever reason they want to, is what it breaks down to. If you have, if they don't like you, they can label you an enemy combatant, and you get picked up and locked away, and nobody will know where you are, because you don't get the right to speak with counsel or anything like that. So anyway, they formally notified, here's what they've done, formally notified the U.S. District Court that it no longer has jurisdiction to consider hundreds of habeas corpus petitions filed by inmates at the Guantanamo Bay prison in Cuba. In a notice dated recently on a Wednesday, the Justice Department listed 196 pending habeas cases, some of which cover groups of detainees. The new Military Commissions Act, it said, provides that, quote, no court, justice, or judge can consider those petitions or actions related to treatment or imprisonment filed by anyone designated as an enemy combatant, now or in the future. Beyond those already imprisoned in Guantanamo Bay or elsewhere, the law applies to all non-U.S. citizens, including permanent U.S. residents. The new law already has been challenged as unconstitutional by lawyers representing the petitioners. The issue of detainee rights is likely to reach the Supreme Court for a third time. Habeas corpus, a Latin term meaning you have the body, is one of the oldest principles of English and American law. It requires the government to show a legal basis for holding a prisoner. A series of resolved federal court cases brought against the administration over the last several years by lawyers representing the detainees had left the question in limbo. 2 years ago, in Rasul v. Bush, which gave the Guantanamo detainees the right to challenge their detentions before a U.S. court, and in this year's Hamdan v. Rumsfeld, where the Supreme Court appeared to settle the issue in favor of the detainees, meaning that, according to the Supreme Court, detainees could absolutely challenge them being held. And so, as a result, they passed the Military Commissions Act to sort of cut the head off of this beast and make it so that none of those Supreme Court decisions mattered anymore. The new legislation gives Bush the authority to try detainees before military commissions, included a provision removing judicial review for all habeas claims. Immediately after Bush signed the act into law, on the day that he did this, the Justice Department sent a letter to the United States Court of Appeals. You think they had this pre-written?
I think this is ready to go.
They sent a letter to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit asserting the new authorities and informing the court it no longer had jurisdiction over a combined habeas case that had been under consideration since 2004. The case was under consideration. The Justice Department just snatched it out from underneath the court. Said, sorry.
We don't need habeas corpus anymore.
Yep. The U.S. District Court cases, which had been stayed pending the appeals court decision, were similarly invalid. The administration informed that court on Wednesday. A number of legal scholars and members of Congress have said that the habeas provision of the new law violates the clause of the Constitution that says the right to challenge detention shall not be suspended.
What a surprise.
Yeah, except if in cases of rebellion or invasion. Historically, the Constitution has been interpreted to apply equally to citizens and non-citizens under U.S. jurisdiction. The administration's persistence on the issue, quote, demonstrates how difficult it is for the courts to enforce in the face of a resolute executive branch that is bound and determined to resist it. So essentially saying that as long as the government's willing to break its own rules, the rules don't matter anymore. If you've got one branch of government that's willing to completely ignore the Constitution that it swore an oath to uphold, because President Bush did swear that oath. At least I'm pretty sure he did, unless they kind of...
They got it on film, buddy.
...fooled us with some, maybe, movie magic or something like that. He swore an oath to the Constitution. The Constitution is the document that sets the guidelines, the rules, for how the United States federal government is to operate. But essentially, if they are going to ignore all of those rules, the judges apparently can't do anything about it.
I don't know what they could do about it.
So if you are to follow the rules of the Constitution, this whole government thing's supposed to work a little smoother. It's supposed to actually have checks and balances. But as long as you have one branch willing to just totally ignore it, what good is it? The administration's persist on Tuesday.
Well, the legislative branch is just as bad. I mean, they voted to give the president these powers.
Sure, and now that the Democrats are in control, they could do something about it. But
they're
not
going to.
because they want the power for themselves when their candidate might win in 2008. On Tuesday, the appeals court granted a petition by lawyers for the detainees to argue against the new law. The executive director of the Center for Constitutional Rights, which represents many of the detainees, said yesterday he expected the administration to file a motion for dismissal of all of the cases before the defense challenge is even heard. Quote, "We and the other habeas counsel are going to vigorously oppose dismissal of these cases. We're going to challenge that law as violating the Constitution on several grounds. Whichever side loses the upcoming court battles will then appeal to the Supreme Court." So it sounds as though that the entire Military Commissions Act is being challenged, or at least some of the provisions of it. It sounds like it may make it to the Supreme Court.
I would think it would, but it's going to take a couple, 3 years for that to happen.
And how many people are they going to pick up off the streets in the meantime?
Are you willing to give up a couple, 3 years of your life?
No.
No.
How many people are they going to snatch up and throw into unnamed military brigs for holding, like they did with Jose Padilla? How many people are going to be tortured right here within the walls of this country? Because now, with the Military Commissions Act, they've essentially made it so the president can define the... what was the term that they used? They didn't call it torture. They called it, ways to coerce information from people.
Remember that? No, I don't know.
There was just some flowery legal language that essentially meant that the president gets to define what is and what is not acceptable as far as torture is concerned. And they made it clear that the president also, nobody is going to be able to talk about what these new definitions are. They're secret.
Yeah, they're not telling you.
So you just have to trust old President Bush when he says, we're not going to torture, just trust me. Trust me, there's a law, and we're not going to torture. I'm going to set the rules, but I'm not going to tell you what the rules are.
And it's not torture unless I say it's
right.
Torture.
It's just water fun. We're taking them to the Wiki Watchy Springs.
we're having a little fun with car batteries.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Right.
They like it.
So how many people are going to be yanked off the streets and subjected to waterboarding, stress positions, being shackled and manacled in ice-cold rooms?
Not being able to sleep. Loud music played.
Yeah. How much is this going to happen, and how many of us are going to know about it? As we pointed out
recently...
What's
the point in it?
And as... I don't understand it. It's just craziness. Just power. People in search of power over others. It's despicable. 800-259-9231 allows you to take control of the airwaves. Your thoughts on the Military Commissions Act, especially if you support this idea of being able to just pick people off the streets and lock them up for no reason. It's Free Talk Live. How much are you paying for your residential long-distance phone service? Well, it's too much. Packet 8 is offering local and long-distance VoIP phone service for as low as $20 a month. You can call anywhere in the United States and Canada for as little as $20 a month. With Packet 8's soft talk service, you can turn your computer into a video phone. Packet 8 also offers virtual office services for small businesses. Get started and get saving with Packet 8. Go to Packet8.com or call 1-866-TRY-VoIP. That's Packet8.com or 1-866-TRY-VoIP.
1-800-Flowers.com wants to remind you Thanksgiving is November the 23rd. Try the Harvest Glow centerpiece from 1-800-Flowers, either as a gift or to decorate your table this Thanksgiving. The small is $49.99, and the large is just $59.99. Call, click, or come in for fresh flowers and gourmet gifts delivered same day, any day. Use code FTL to save 10% on your next order. That's FTL for a 10% savings. 1-800-Flowers.com, your florist of choice for the holidays.
According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 18 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. Most people with diabetes have risk factors such as obesity, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, which increase their risk for heart disease. For example, more than 65% of people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Finding out you or your loved ones have diabetes can be scary. This is why, as your trusted online partner in health, we are committed to bringing you products that help you make informed decisions about your health. At researchherbs.com, you can learn more about GlucoCare, a highly effective and safe natural herbal supplement formulated specifically to help maintain optimal blood sugar levels. As with all products featured on researchherbs.com, GlucoCare is the result of several years of rigorous development and is backed by numerous clinical trials and experimental studies. Visit us online at researchherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 to learn more. That's 1-800-845-3841.
If you're tired of spending a small fortune every time you fill up, now you can do something about it. Ethos FR, a product used all over the world, has reported savings of up to 19% on gas and even reduced emissions of up to 30%. Ethos FR is easy to use and works with any kind of fuel, including gasoline, diesel, and ethanol. Ethos FR works by reformulating the gas in your tank to burn more completely, resulting in a cleaner engine, better mileage, more power, and fewer emissions. So visit ctsavegas.com and start saving today. That's ctsavegas.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, Friday edition. As always, you can bring up whatever you want toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the Packet 8 toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Enjoy it all because it's free. Those other radio talk show hosts want to charge you for access to their membership features. We give it all away. If you are on the site, you're essentially a member. There's no fee to access the oodles of archives. We have an entire year's worth there, right there on the front page of the website, and more, all on the house. Then we do ask that you vote for the show. In return for giving all that stuff away, go to vote.freetalklive.com. Cast your vote for Free Talk Live. It makes a big difference for us because those of you who have voted have helped propel us to the top of the podcast charts. I believe we're currently ranked at number 4, thanks to those of you who have taken the time to go to vote.freetalklive.com. So we need, if you have not gone, we need you to head over there and take a minute out of your time, vote for Free Talk Live, because the higher up we are on that top 10 ranking, the more new listeners we're going to get. We're now number 2.
Yep.
That's excellent. And I think that has a lot to do with our friends over at Downsize DC. So big thanks to all the DC Downsizers on that because they sent out their notice today.
That's right.
To the Downsizers. Anyway, so those of you who voted, head over there now. Vote.freetalklive.com. We're moving back up the charts, and it helps bring new people to the message of freedom and liberty. Great way to spread the word without having to spend any of your hard-earned money. Vote.freetalklive.com. All right, so let's talk cops. Apparently, some cops were almost a little too quick on the trigger. Luckily, they held back in this particular case. And as a result, a father managed to stay alive. A father of 5, in fact. Midvale from the Salt Lake Tribune. A SWAT team sniper chambered around. Fixed his crosshairs on the suspected gunman at a Midvale youth football game Saturday and clicked off his safety. Suspect paced anxiously on the rooftop at Midvale Middle School, peering frequently over the wall at a football field clogged with hundreds of parents and players. Police say James Krantz intended to shoot all right, but not with a gun. The amateur cameraman, a Sandy father of 5, had scaled the school wall with a ladder at about 1 p.m. as teams prepared for a youth football game. He toted a long, slender bag on his back, a lawn chair that a neighbor mistook for a rifle case, and called the police. High above the competition, Kranz planned to shoot video of his two of his children playing football, like lots of parents like to do. But the parents' rooftop roost led to an evacuation of hundreds of young athletes and spectators as police and SWAT team members descended on the school to apprehend a possible sniper. You think people are a little too antsy about this whole terrorism thing? People scared a little too much? This is all because of the government. The reason why people are so scared out there is because of the government rattling the sabers on this war on terror, insisting that they're going to come over here. Look out, everybody. Well, if we don't fight them in Iraq, they're going to come here. And so somebody spots a guy with a long bag on his back, and they presume that he's got a gun in there.
Well, it's interesting that the police didn't want to do any police work here, go find out, you know, what the guy's up to or anything like that. They just put a sniper on him.
Yeah, their response is absolutely stunning. Thank goodness the sniper withheld from actually firing a bullet into this man's chest or head. Apparently, SWAT team members descended on the school. Although uncertain about the threat at first, Midvale Police Sniper Jay Gwennon saw Kranz's behavior grew increasingly suspicious, and his location seemed superb for hitting anything below. Quote, I observed him pacing back and forth nervously, constantly looking. As a sniper, if I were to cause havoc, the spot he was at would have been the perfect spot. Two police officers had spotted the man from inside the school. From a second-story window, they ordered him to surrender. Get down, they shouted. Get on the ground. Show us your hands. Instead, Kranz turned and walked away, police said. We thought this person did have a rifle, said the police sergeant, Greg Olson. The way he was acting was very, very suspicious to us. When he refused to comply with the two officers who were trying to get him to go down on his knees and show his hands, we felt there was an absolute threat. Referees already had cleared much of the football field, ushering people into a parking lot that would separate them from the suspected shooter by a row of cars. Andre Dominguez, a Midvale parent, reported hearing someone screaming, "Shooting! Shooting!" when officials ordered the field cleared. He was skeptical but followed fans off the field. Another spectator spotted SWAT team members scanning the rooftop with rifles and figured this wasn't a false alarm. "But when I saw the police looking through their scopes, following this guy across the roof, I thought it was for real," said Ron Watkins of Salt Lake City, "and it was, so the police..."
It would have been if he got a bullet in the head.
Instead of complying with police, Kranz hurried to the south side of the building and climbed down. Two officers with rifles greeted him below. Authorities ticketed Kranz for trespassing, then ordered him off of the school grounds. Kranz, who's 43, said he never heard the police when they were shouting at him. I mean, it was a football game, so I presume there was a lot of crowd noise and other things like that around.
Could have happened.
He thought the two officers shouting to him from a window were janitors. He said he was fiddling with his camera, which he often uses to film the games for teams, and didn't notice anything unusual. Quote, I humbly apologize to officials, to the team's parents and children. It was nothing but an utter embarrassment, as though he has something to apologize about. It's the police and this fool that called him in are the ones that should be apologizing. The police say...
Well, he probably should have got permission to be on the roof.
Okay.
They wouldn't have given it to him.
I humbly apologize to officials, to the teams, the parents, and the children. The police handled the matter, quote, professionally and perfectly, he said. I would have carried it out in the same way if I were them. And yet the school top stunt could have killed him. Authorities say even the sound of a car backfiring would have triggered a deadly encounter. Olson said, We're here to try and protect the public.
You don't hear many cars backfiring these days anymore.
No, I guess you don't.
It's kind of uncommon.
If we had perceived any type, could have been anything, though. I mean, somebody dropping a stack of trays in the kitchen or anything that was a loud noise could have set this sniper on edge.
Yeah.
I mean, he was already on edge. He believed this guy was looking to kill some kids.
Yeah.
Based on a call-in tip. That's all it took to get the police all hyped up and excited about this. A call-in tip. You know, if a cop had crawled up the ladder that this guy had crawled up himself, obviously the ladder must have still been there, right?
He crawled down.
Right. So why couldn't they have just sent a guy up there and said, hey, what you doing up here? I mean, if it was a mad sniper, you would have foiled his plans right then and there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, if he was a madman, he might have tried to turn on the police and shoot, but these guys are trained to handle these circumstances. The cop could have come up with a gun in his hands. I mean, like you say, Mark, it wouldn't have been hard for them to ascertain what was really going on here.
If the guy does have a gun, he has a rifle, and the cop pops his head up, it's not like he's going to be waiting for somebody to pop their head up and get him within a split second. He's going to be surprised by that. Obviously,
he was scanning the field. He wasn't watching the ladder that he was scaling.
So he would have a brick wall between him and the gun and the supposed gunman. He'd be safe. The cop would.
Well, either way, that would have been the appropriate response instead of setting a team of snipers to train their weapons on this guy. I mean, is it really appropriate? Look, I'm not a cop, and if you are, and if you're on the SWAT team and you want to call in and explain this, 800-259-9231. But is it really appropriate to take a gun, if you're a cop, is it appropriate to take your sniper rifle and train it on a man who is obviously unarmed? If he's got a bag on his back, that's a long, scary-looking black bag that could contain a gun.
He couldn't have had that on. You're not going to carry around the lawn chair bag after you put the lawn chair up.
I don't know if he put the lawn chair up. I'm not sure about that. Let's presume that this guy was standing at this wall, looking out over the field. He's got this long, ominous black bag on his back, to where he's going to have to go through a few motions in order to remove the gun from the bag, if it indeed was a sniper rifle or something like that in there. Remove the gun from the bag, train it on the players on the field. It's going to take at least a few seconds. Now, I'm not a sniper. I've not been trained in this. And I understand that if you've been trained, you can be pretty proficient at it. But nonetheless, if you've got a police sniper on a rooftop nearby keeping an eye on this dude, they're going to know if he's going for the gun, right?
Right.
It's going to be clear as to whether or not he actually has a weapon in his hands. Is it appropriate to train a rifle on someone if it's clear that they are unarmed at that point?
I don't see a rifle with the safety off.
Right. I don't think it is appropriate at all. These snipers usually have spotters. They work in teams of two.
They do.
There's a sniper and the spotter. The spotter doesn't have a gun. He doesn't have a sniper rifle, at least. And his job is to watch the situation. So they must have known that the man didn't have a weapon in his hands. They just said he was acting suspicious. I don't think the police should be training guns on people if they're just acting suspicious. Now, if he were to whip a gun out of that backpack, then at that case, yeah, flip off the safety and get ready for something to happen. I find that their response here was way overdone, way out of control.
I'd have to agree. Fortunately, nothing happened.
Thank goodness. Now then, in other police-related news, Mark, you've got a story about a police chief that was honest about his force. Now, we have observed over time, my girlfriend and I, for instance, have observed that it seems like when the cops get hired, when they're young, you know, they've got the shaved head, the sort of skinhead sort of look, and they're really big and buff and tough guys, right? Well, as it turns out, as police tend to get older, they get tenured, they can't get fired, so they know that it's not as important to be as buff and tough as they once were, so they sort of let it all hang out, start eating more donuts, get a little pudgy. Well, one police chief was honest about all this. We'll find out what happened to him as a result of it. Coming up in Hour 3, you take control of the airwaves. This is your show. Anything goes. 800-259-9231, the Packet 8 toll-free line for you. It's Free Talk Live. How much are you paying for your residential long-distance phone service? Well, it's too much. Packet 8 is offering local and long-distance VoIP phone service for as low as $20 a month. You can call anywhere in the United States and Canada for as little as $20 a month. With Packet 8's soft talk service, you can turn your computer into a video phone. Packet 8 also offers virtual office services for small businesses. Get started and get saving with Packet 8. Go to Packet8.com or call 1-866-TRY-VOIP. That's Packet8.com or 1-866-TRY-VOIP.
Hi, Ted Anderson here. I'm happy to announce that the audience has increased over 200% this year, and our advertisers have sent testimonials complimenting the responsiveness. Sponsorship is critical at both local and national levels. If you have a business, product, or message that could benefit from this broadcast locally, call the station you're listening to. For national exposure, call 877-996-4327. Become a part of the Genesis team by calling your local station or call the national line at 877-996-4327.
Times